Morning, Ireland. It's 8:15. Minister for Health James Reilly, good morning.
Good morning.
Earlier this morning, your department published the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Bill, which, if it becomes law this summer, will legalise and regularise ending pregnancies where a woman's life is at risk. How is it different from the version we've heard discussed over recent weeks?
Well, can I just put this in context, if I may? I mean, since 1992 and the Supreme Court case on X and a referendum, we've had no legislation to clarify how a woman could access a service, and no clarity on what that service exactly would be and what she was entitled to. So, and this was confirmed by the European Court on Human Rights in the case of ABC versus Ireland. So the government are now acting for the first time, and we're going to clarify the legislation for the women who must use our services and for the professionals who have to deliver that service and have a duty of care to women and their unborn babies.
How is it different from the version that we've heard discussed in recent weeks?
Well, the major differences would be that there's power to suspend, and I think that's important. We have a 28-day notification system in place, and little point in me as a minister having that information if I cannot act. So if I see worrying trends or irregular activity, I will have the ability to call on HICWA to investigate and automatically suspend the service until HICWA are satisfied that that service is safe. The other area that's different is we will have an annual report, which will obviously allow for debate and discussion. We have increased the number of hospitals because it was felt during the course of the hearings that there would be, on a reasonably sort of small way, but nonetheless reasonably regular, there would be individuals whose medical condition associated with their pregnancy would require that they might need intensive care immediately after a procedure. So some of the major adult hospitals have been included, where their hospitals don't have those facilities, particularly in Dublin, the maternity hospitals, none of them have ICUs.
By the way, the rotunda is not on the list, Minister. Any reason why?
Sorry, beg your pardon?
The rotunda is not on the list I'm looking at here in the back of the bill. Any reason why?
Oh, no, the rotunda is included. It's certainly there. If it's not on the list, you have it certainly there because it's one of the approved locations.
Okay, it must be an oversight. I printed this out from your own website and there's no mention of the rotunda here.
Well, I have to say to you very clearly, the rotunda is on the list I have.
Okay.
And it's also a case that in the definition of an appropriate location, it's a hospital that delivers maternity services. So the rotunda is there. The issue around the addition of adult hospitals was to accommodate the fact, as I pointed out, that there will be rare cases where women will need immediate access to intensive care and support from cardiologists, vascular surgeons and others. The other thing that's different here is the consent for the GP to be consulted. That will only happen with the consent of the woman concerned.
Why change?
Well, we believe it's very important that GPs be consulted and be part of informing the process, but not be part of certification. And indeed, it's been pointed out that in many of the cases that have ended poorly for patients in the past were a result of failure to consult and contact the GP to get more detail on a patient's history.
But if a woman doesn't want her GP to know, that's fine too.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be with her consent. And, of course, some people don't have GPs, and it may not be practical to contact a GP, so that's covered in the Act.
What changes have you made with regard to conscientious objection? Because it's not clear from this bill what role, if any, hospitals or institutions which have a faith-based ethos or which might object to carrying out terminations or abortions, what role they will have. Can they object? Can they oblige their staff not to carry out terminations?
The answer to that simply is no. The area of conscientious objection applies to individual professionals and is well covered in the Medical Council guidelines. And it's also very clear in that instance that if you have a conscientious objection, that you must refer the patient on to another doctor or another clinician.
But not to another
hospital. Now, in the case of an institution, however, all the institutions mentioned in this are funded by the taxpayer. We could not have a situation where a service being funded by the taxpayer could deprive a citizen of their rights. So under those circumstances, we see absolutely no indication or room for an institution to have a conscientious objection.
So an institution can't conscientiously object under this law if passed?
Absolutely not.
Did you take note of the reservations of psychiatrists which we heard during the recent Health Committee, which looked at the draft heads of bills, that termination in the view of many of them is not an appropriate treatment for suicidal ideation in pregnancy. Did you reflect on that at all in this rewriting?
We certainly reflected on it long and hard. But as was pointed out by many people, this is a rare occasion when this law would come into play, that you cannot outrule the possibility of this being the case. And obviously the Supreme Court case on X shows clearly there was a case. So we have to act within what we have currently in front of us, which is the Constitution on the one hand, the Supreme Court case of 1992 on X on the other hand, and the ABC judgment from the European Court of Human Rights on the other hand. And so within that parameter, we have acted. We have consulted widely. There was a huge amount of work that went on between both parties, a lot of consultation through, as you've already pointed out, the Oireachtas Committee, which did inform the process in a number of ways, which I've highlighted. And we have taken on board what a lot of people had to say, but we always knew and understood that this is a very emotive and divisive issue. But again, I think even last night at the Parliamentary Party meeting, we had a very sane and a very calm discussion around the issues. And I think that has been a feature of this debate so far, and I think Jerry Butler, the chairman of the Oireachtas Committee, played a huge role in continuing that calm atmosphere, which allowed people to be heard and to hear each other and to be informed by what each other was saying. Obviously, you know, there are people who will be feeling that this goes too far and shouldn't be happening, and there's other people who feel it doesn't go far enough. We feel that what we have done here is a real advance in terms of clarifying the law for the women who need our health services and for the professionals who must deliver it.
The timing of the publication of this bill just after midnight last night, on the same day as a report into the death of Savita Halappanavar, would your bill have saved her?
Can I just say that in relation to the timing of the bill, this was to have been done, you know, we'd hoped to have it ready around 9 o'clock last night. There were all sorts of technical problems around, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, as always happens with these bills. So it was a bit delayed. But having said that, would this bill of itself have saved Savita Halappanavar? I can't say for certain, but what I can say is that it would have brought much greater clarity for everybody concerned. And I think that into the future it will, as it says, save lives and save the lives of both mothers and children.
The reason I ask is we'll be speaking to Gerard O'Donnell, family solicitor for the Halappanavars, later in the programme. Praveen Halappanavar, who's out of the country at the moment, was unaware that this report was going to be released today, and it was his thought that you were in a rush to get it out to coincide with this pregnancy bill. Is he right?
Well, no, absolutely not. In fact, the report had to be published and has to be published with Sir Errol Coomeran present, and he's a very busy man. We're very lucky to have had an expert of such high calibre available to us.
But you didn't contact the family, Praveen Halappanavar's solicitor, until last night. He got an email late last night, he tells us.
Well, now, with respect, I'd have to counter that, because I know for a fact that we sent an email on Monday in relation to this, because I had read an article in the Evening Herald suggesting that he hadn't been contacted.
You're saying he got the report on Monday?
No, he didn't get the report on Monday. He got the report yesterday, but he was contacted on Monday to offer a meeting and a discussion with myself. So, I mean, and I remain available. So, I mean, I still don't want to say the following. I mean, this has been a terrible tragedy for Praveen Halappanavar and Savita's family. And I want to, again, restate my sympathy. And I don't want to be saying anything that in any way will upset or make the terrible tragedy that he's had to endure in any way worse. I'm really very pleased that he did engage with the process and inform it. I think you'll find when the report is released that it's very hard-hitting, that it's very straight, and that it doesn't pull any punches. It will have to, from my point of view, though, require full consideration in the context of the HICWA report, which will be with us soon, and also the coroner's full report.
The Taoiseach spoke yesterday in the Dáil of some of the hate mail that he had received in recent months over your government's plan to legislate for abortion. He spoke about hate mail and mail that he had got that was written in blood in some cases. Have you had similar types of hate mail?
I've had a number of communications, and I've had people down at the House protesting, etc., etc. But look, I understand, as I said, that this is a very emotive issue and it's very difficult for some people. But I think the poll today shows that the people have moved on and that they want the clarity that this legislation brings.
There will be many listening today, and we will be speaking to a representative of the pro-life campaign, Caroline Symonds, later in the programme, who will feel that your government, and you in particular, by introducing this bill, have crossed a line. What would you have to say to them?
I'll say what I said a long time back in the Dáil, that this is not the reason why I went into politics. I went into politics to fix the health service, but it would be a derogation of duty by me as a minister if I didn't address this issue, which six successive governments have failed to address. I'm very proud to be part of a government that would take the action necessary to bring the clarity that women need who use our services and that the professions need to deliver a safe and legal service.
James Riley, Minister for Health, thank you for speaking to us.